Black WNST, Towson Baltimore and Baltimore Positive. We are positively no longer at home. We're out on the road. We're doing a Maryland Crab Cake tour at Wise Markets. We're here at Honey Go. I have all sorts of lottery tickets to give away. I have some O-Snaps. I have some scented. These smell like gingerbread. The peppermint payouts now also smell like gingerbread because the gingerbread is the dominant scent, as well as the unwrapped cash. We're going to be at Fadley's 2 days after Christmas next Wednesday doing the Maryland Crab Cake tour. It has been busy between the Ravens winning, between our show at Curio and Foreign Daughter with Gina Shock over the weekend, and doing all the things we're doing. Our friends at Window Nation remind you, 866-90-NATION, you buy two, get two free through the holidays. And Jiffy Lube Multicare, my little orange lights on. I'm up here at Honey Go at Wise Market celebrating Christmas. We got like fruitcake here and eggnog. We're going to have, before the show's over, and Tom Kelso could participate or maybe not, we're going to have some sauerkraut and kielbasa. He's getting a crab cake here, signature crab cake from Wise, whether he knows it or not. It has been crazy. You were sick. We were going to do this at Hollywood Casino. You've been at this for the better part of the last 90 days as the former Maryland Stadium Authority chairman, in trying to notify the public as to what was negotiated initially and what the Angelos family and the Orioles have wanted over the course of the year, and why the lease isn't done, and why the Ravens have now videos, plans. They've already spent the money, $480 million of the $600 million they were granted. I mean, there's so much happening here, but there was a meeting 2 hours prior to you showing up
10 a.m. this morning.
So this is Monday. It is Christmas week here. If you're listening out on the podcast, our attempt is to completely educate. I call this Stadia for Dummies. When we got together originally, there wasn't going to be a vote. Then there was a vote. Now there's a vote. Is this a lease? Let's start with this, Tom Kelso, because like you and I have talked a lot about MOUs. What legally happened on Monday in Annapolis in regard to the Stadium Authority and in regard to changes to what the Ravens have already celebrated and spent versus what the Orioles wanted and, I guess, got today?
Well, there's a lot in that question, but the actual action today is actually taking place at the Camden Yards warehouse in the MSA offices and then the Oriole offices. So at 10 a.m. this morning, the Maryland Stadium Authority Board met in a specially called meeting to consider this amendment to the existing Orioles lease.
How many members are there on that board?
There are 10 members on the board.
Now, they sit under the chairman, who used to be you, who is now Craig Thompson. Are these 10 members the 10 members that were there when you were there? Or what's the mix of that?
About half of them were there when I was there, and so it's there are 11 seats. One of them is open. Nobody fills that seat. And Chairman Thompson occupies one of the seats himself.
One of the 10?
Yes.
Okay.
Correct.
So there's 9 other board members. These are made up of whom and appointed by whom and how?
Sure. Well, the vast majority of them are appointed by the governor. So the governor appoints 8 members. The mayor of Baltimore appoints 1 member. I'm sorry, the governor appoints 7 members. The mayor of Baltimore appoints 1 member. The county executive in Prince George's County appoints 1 member. The president of the Senate appoints 1 member. And the speaker of the House appoints 1 member. So it's a pretty diverse body in terms of where they come from across the state, and their backgrounds, their occupations, and then, you know, who actually makes the appointment of those people.
But the people in the room today were Wes Moore's people. Some of them were all held over from before, though, correct?
There are a couple of people that were appointed during the Hogan administration. Actually, there are a few people that were appointed during the O'Malley administration.
Wow, okay.
That managed to survive the Hogan administration and now are still there during the Moore administration.
Do these people get paid?
No.
I'm just floored by all of this, that you've never made a nickel. And I, you know, I brought this up at the beginning. We've gotten together a couple times. If you've been on the trail to, you know, I've called you a whistleblower behind your back, but a truth teller or to someone who is speaking up for our money and someone who obviously loves the Orioles, the Ravens, wants a lease. But I'm blown away that none of these people are compensated. That over $1 billion was voted on by, like, some sort of uncompensated jury, right? It's kind of a little bit of a jury, kind of a...
Well, the MSA approves, or doesn't approve, but if the MSA approves something, it still then goes to the State Board of Public Works, which is made up of the governor, the state treasurer, and the state comptroller. So the MSA board votes primarily to assure that everything is in compliance with the Maryland Stadium Authority statute, and that the staff has done all the work that they're supposed to do on things. And then for major contracts, large amounts of money, it then goes to the Maryland State Board of Public Works. So this afternoon at 3:15, the Maryland Board of Public Works will also meet at the Camden Yards warehouse, and they will then discuss and vote on what the MSA board approved today.
All right. Tom Kelso's here. We're Wise Markets. We're doing a crab cake tour. There's going to be crab cakes, and I have all sorts of literature here and notes and thoughts. Bring me up to speed on what's happened since the last time we got together. You know, I have reached a Wes Moore. I have reached a Craig Thompson. Wes Moore has emailed me back numerous times. The governor had said he would be on the show by the end of the month. That's not going to happen. I'm hoping he joins us next month. I have reached a Bill Ferguson. I have reached a Brooke Learman. So I will get everyone's input on this. And it doesn't have to all happen today or by Christmas, or I mean, there's no shovel in the ground. Lord knows the Orioles are glacial at anything that they do or will do with this money. What has changed? And the MOU was so lopsided, and I have it in front of me here. This is the memorandum of understanding this was what John Angelos released to the world. It is signed, DocuSign by Craig Thompson. This is the legitimate what this was John Angelos' dream plan, right? Basically, right? This is what he thought he was going to get 3 months ago when Wes Moore was in his box. What's different between this, that you were opposed to parts of it and we had talked about these, to what actually happened? What was the negotiation? Where did they find common ground?
Well, before I answer that question, Nestor, let me just say is that you know, any type of sophisticated lease or financial agreement, you know, takes a lot of time, and there are a lot of different things that have to be considered. And I will say is that you know, having been part of the state for 8 years, is that I know that the state is difficult to negotiate with, because you've got the administrative branch of government, the agencies that fall underneath the governor, in which case the stadium authority is that. But then you also have the Maryland legislature that has rights and responsibilities to participate in various things. And then you also have the Office of the Attorney General that is a separately elected state official that also participates in these negotiations.
To say this is legal.
To say it's legal, okay. That's correct. And so, you know, for a team or any party negotiating with the state, it is a complex thing that you have to do, because you have to negotiate first with the primary agency that you're dealing with, in this case, the Maryland Stadium Authority. And because the governor was so very active in this, it was the Stadium Authority really and the governor, or maybe it was the governor and the Maryland Stadium Authority leading the negotiation. But the legislature has rights. And so, you know, all money appropriated actually is done by the legislature. It's not done by the governor. So in order to appropriate money, a bill has to be put in the legislature and passed. So the $1.2 billion stadium funding bill, House Bill 896 in 2022, is actually a legislative action. It was done by the legislature. The entire Maryland Stadium Authority statute, the four walls of what the law allows for the stadium authority to be able to do is a statute that was created by the legislature back in 1986, and it has been amended numerous times over the 27 years since it was put in, or 37 years since it was put into place. So, but in the statute, the legislature has some approval rights. So not only did the governor have to approve, the stadium authority have to approve, but the legislature had things that it had to approve. And then, of course, the Office of the Attorney General also has to approve from a legal sufficiency standpoint. So it's complicated.
So if Angeles gets more money than the original $600 million, we talked about the parity clause and all of that. Bill Ferguson, Wes Moore, Derek Davis, Brooke Learman say okay on Monday. This is not going back to Annapolis, right? This is an amendment to that. But an amendment, if there's any more money involved, wouldn't that not go back to Annapolis again if there's more than $600 million appropriated?
Sure. So what's being voted on this afternoon is an extension and an amendment to the existing Baltimore Orioles lease. So it's actually extending it to, from what I understand, and I haven't seen all of the documents, so I'm talking somewhat, uncomfortably because I don't know everything that's in there. I'm just looking at the summary.
Well, the timing of this sit-down here is not perfect, but it is perfect from this is news and it's happening.
Absolutely.
But I think a month from now,
right, it'll be clear.
We'll know more, right? So
that's correct.
There is a nebulous part of what did he get? They gave him what? And how did they give it to him? And how could they give it to him when this was appropriated by a legislature?
Right.
So above that feels like hokey pokey to me, but this is where the Attorney General and other people are saying how much could they give him above and beyond what was already given? That would be my question.
So today, no more money is being given because the governor doesn't have the authority, nor does the stadium authority have the authority to enter into a contract and grant more money.
So part of this MOU was fallacious in its own right because it includes promises and an understanding that Craig Thompson and Wes Moore were not authorized to give him.
They can give it in an MOU, but before it becomes final, it has to go to the legislature to actually vote on the funding bill and appropriate the money in the future that would be given to the Orioles. So that vote is not going to happen because the amendment that's being passed today, as I understand it, all it does is keep the existing Oriole lease exactly as it is, intact, and extend it for 30 years. So there's no more money other than the stadium funding bill, which is an amendment that they're passing today that allows the Orioles access to the stadium funding bill. So they'll get access through the stadium authority to the same $600 million that's available to the Ravens.
So hold on. Is the lead story here that Angelos didn't get any more than he would have bargained for, despite you not being there for a year, and Craig Tom, different people that... What happened? What's going to happen today that's different than had he just signed last year when Larry Hogan was governor?
Well, there is some additional amendments that are being passed today that create something called a facilities use agreement. And the Orioles at various points in the future, as I understand it, would have the option to terminate the existing lease and to enter into the facilities use agreement that does change some of the dynamics. And it really hinges around the development agreement that was part of the MOU that created a lot of heartburn for a lot of people, where it appeared that the state was giving the Orioles the warehouse and the surrounding parking lots in Camden Station to the Orioles for 99 years for a de minimis rent. And
that did not happen.
That did not happen.
Well, kudos to you for working for the people to some degree, because I know all of us, just given that it's the Angelos family, given that a deal's not a deal, given that good faith has a different meaning between you and I and he and other people, certainly in my case, there is no good faith. So I think and knowing that they're probably not here forever. He's probably not here forever. Whatever his father's will states, mother, that once the shovel goes in the dirt down there to do whatever the Disney idea is, they may or may not be a part of it, but the state's going to be a part of it. The taxpayers are going to be a part of it, right? The city's going to be a part of it.
Exactly.
And the owner of the baseball team, whomever that is at the time, or operator, would be a part of that. And
well, one of the things, Nestor, that I really wanted to make clear to people, because my efforts are not against the Orioles, and they're certainly not against the governor. And I congratulate the governor and Chairman Thompson and the leadership of the Stadium Authority, John Angelos, and the entire Orioles organization on getting something done today, because this is meaningful to, even if you're just extending the existing lease for 30 years, is that you know that there's a commitment by the Orioles organization to remain in Baltimore for a long period of time. And that doesn't mean that some of the things that the Orioles were asking for may not get done in the future. It just means is that they're going to be subject to further study and further approvals.
As it should be.
As it should be, correct. That's right. Exactly right.
So you're happy today in that you have, I mean...
Well, it wasn't just me. It was a lot of people.
I saw Michael Bronfine the other day. He did the show from Curio Wellness, and he said some kind words about you. I don't remember what was on the air or off the air, but he mentioned, because I mentioned you were doing the show today, and he's like, oh, good guy. Like, what? I think to myself, like, I've gotten to know you this much. You ran the thing for 8 years, and I barely knew your name. You have said flippantly to me, I would never have come on your show when I had this role, because, like, it just wasn't what I do. And Craig Thompson has said he will be on the show, and I'll get to ask him questions, but your passion for this and how it sort of intersected with my desire to have the truth told, that there is a truth teller in this, kudos to you, but did you get what you felt was fair for the people? And I guess more than that is, if this is basically sort of kind of the same deal that was being offered a year ago, I wonder where all the spinning wheels were in this last year. Did Angelos win? Did we win? Did the governor win? Well, everybody wins when the team stays here and we have a full stadium and have a competitive environment.
Yes.
And 10 years, we're all winners when this goes well. We're losers if the Angelos family walks away with all of the money and leaves behind a shell of a mess, yes, which is certainly plausible and possible based on everything I know. But this really is about the agenda of the city and the people. And
that's correct. And the state taxpayers. And, you know, when I started to approach people in the media about and start speaking out, it was not to criticize the governor or not to criticize John Angelos. It was really to try to put sunlight on what it was they were talking about and what it means. And
people are coming to you and say, why didn't it get done? Right? Like, literally, hey, Tom, you worked at it. Bisciotti liked the deal. How did it not get done? And I'm sure that was a big part of your life, right?
Well, it was a big part of my life. I mean, when I was first appointed as chairman of the Stadium Authority in March of 2015, I can do math. And, you know, I realized that if Larry Hogan was reelected in 2018 and I was still chairman of the Stadium Authority, is that the Orioles lease would expire during my term. And so we started, when I say we, I mean myself and the executive director of the Stadium Authority. His name is Mike Friends. And I congratulate Mike today. It's a great day.
I've had lunch with Mike. Hi, Mike.
Yeah, hey, Mike. And we started in approaching Peter Angelos about trying to start a discussion around a new lease. And he was very polite, but he would just continue to stiff arm us. He would always ask at the end of every meeting, well, why would I want to do that? And I would laugh and I would think, well, I just explained it to you. But
confidence of the citizens to know that you're going to be here.
Well, we wanted a new lease.
Yeah.
And, but I never lost faith that we would get one. And even when, you know, the Governor Moore was elected and, you know, he elected to appoint Chairman Thompson, I mean, I never doubted that we would get a lease. The most important thing, though, is to get a lease that is good for the taxpayers and the citizens. And where I got really upset was, and it was very clear in the MOU and the press package that went out with it, is that under the MOU, is that the role of the Maryland Stadium Authority was going to essentially be abolished as it related to Oriole Park. And what people don't understand is it's the Stadium Authority that stands in the shoes of the taxpayers. And so when public officials, Governor Moore included, would say, well, I'm trying to protect the taxpayers, I would think, well, then you need to be sure that the role of the Stadium Authority remains unchanged, because it day in and day out, it's the staff and the team of people at the Maryland Stadium Authority that are protecting state dollars and protecting the state assets. And so the reason Oriole Park looks like Oriole Park today is just because of the job that the Stadium Authority has done since the stadium was completed in 1992.
Yeah, I've pointed that out as they're ripping down Arlington Baseball Stadium. Yeah. They're replacing stadia. Yeah. I go into these football stadiums that were built that are no good. That Soldier Field thing the hatchet job they did.
FedEx Field. It was built around the same time as M&T Bank Stadium.
Yeah, awful, right? Yeah. So all of these places that were built 30 years ago, if you love Camden Yards, if you like your football experience, if you like the $480 million worth of gold-plated bathrooms that the Ravens are taking this money and doing with next week, and if you like those things, then you like oversight. Because the Ravens and the Orioles, if they were just tenants in these buildings and had no stake in the building, it would be like someone who rents a house that has no stake in their house, right?
Well,
like,
that's exactly right. And we have to remember is that the teams are making an investment, and it sounds all the time the way the media portrays it is that the teams are just taking money from the state for stadiums or stadium improvements. But that's not really true. The teams contribute economically a lot to the state in terms of direct revenues at the stadiums, but also the income taxes that are paid by the team owners, by the teams, by the businesses that are associated with the teams, and also by the players. So, this is a lot of revenue that goes to the state.
Having
from
a sports team in downtown Baltimore is
critical.
Good for Baltimore.
It's good for
critical.
Baltimore.
Critical
for Baltimore, really good for the state of Maryland. And if you want to be a major league city, you need to have major league teams that are there.
Well, look, Christmas night, we're the center of the universe. Our football teams,
yes.
Right? I mean, everybody in the country is going to be watching something.
Well,
that says
except
Baltimore.
We're going to be in San Francisco,
we're on display.
Yeah, we're on display. But New Year's Eve, Baltimore is on display when Miami's in town, and these are really important assets of the city and the state, and they are economic contributors. And the other thing is, I think it's important is that when the Ravens went out and talked about what they're doing to improve M&T Bank Stadium as part of the stadium funding bill, when they went out and talked about it last week, they're selling the hype, right? Which they should be, because they're most worried about the things that bring fans to the stadium as frequently as possible. But what they don't tout, okay, because it's just not a big sale item, is all of the infrastructure work that's also going on out of that $480 million that's designed to extend the useful life of that stadium as long as possible. Because $600 million or $480 million sounds expensive, but it's a lot less than building a new stadium every 20 or 25 years. So when we passed the stadium funding bill in 2022, with the leadership of Governor Hogan and the President of the Senate and the Speaker of the House, is that the goal was to give the teams the ability to keep those stadiums fresh from a fan amenity standpoint, but also to make sure that the infrastructure of those stadiums is such that the useful life of those stadiums is extended as far into the future as you can. It's like reinvesting in your house. And it's a combination of money that's designed to improve the fan experience, but also to extend the useful life of the stadiums.
Tom Kelso's here, Maryland Stadium Authority, former chair of the Maryland Stadium Authority. We're talking all things nuts and bolts and money. When we talk about the Ravens, I always want to give them 2 points here because Steve put hundreds of millions of dollars into upgrading the stadium. I don't know the bill for the left field wall in the baseball stadium has come to the people. I've lost track over 30 years when I go in and say, oh, there's new this, there's a new concession, there's a TV, there's a heater in the bathroom behind my section before they threw me out of it. Now they don't have anybody to sit in it. The baseball stadium has had coats of paint. When I see the locker rooms, I've been thrown out of the locker room as a media member for 17 years now. I see that they've painted things. So I see upgrades just in my own eyes and walking through, but that's not toilets flushing. That's not point of sale. That's not cables running through that made television work and made things function. But and that's not upgraded kitchens where they're making our hot dogs or our crab cakes in the stadia. I've lost track of, like, is that on the public side? Is that how much did D'Angelo's family put in? But I've always been led to believe that Steve Bisciotti, because the Ravens would pat themselves on the back when they would do the, we're doing this, we're spending this, we're doing this scoreboard, we're upgrading things. The Ravens spent money on their stadium. Did the Orioles spend money on the stadium in the last 30 years? Or, like, I'm trying to understand that dynamic of investing in your own rental property, right?
Right. So, the short answer is the Ravens have invested north of $250 million since 1998 when they took over the stadium.
I said hundreds of million. That's a lot. Yeah.
It's a lot of money. And the Orioles have invested a lot less. And in addition is that the Ravens built the castle, you know, their training facility, which is in Owings Mills.
With some county help.
Go ahead.
Just want to throw that out.
Right, but there's a large team investment there as well. Now, and the Orioles' comparable investment is in Sarasota because spring training in baseball is not done locally. It's done in warm weather climes. But I think that when you just look at it on a dollars-for-dollars basis, is that it sounds like it is not equal, and technically it's not. But the two sports are not equal either. So, you know, football is a completely different fan experiential model than baseball is. And that's where I think that, you know, working with Dick Cass and then Sashi Brown and their team of people at the Ravens and working with John Angelos and Greg Bader and their team of people at the Orioles is that, you know, I was able to learn a lot that the needs of the teams and the things that are the most important, they're not necessarily equal. And so and the ability of a baseball team to reinvest in a stadium is different than a football team's need to reinvest in a stadium. Football team has 10 games, 9 games, 10 games maybe with a preseason game, maybe 11 or 12 with the postseason games. But they have to maximize that fan experience for that 10 to 12 games.
Well, they had a technology problem in the stadium more than
technology.
Just getting things to work back in the day, right? Literally.
And they need to have, because the player salaries are escalating, the teams need to have pricing power every single year. They need to have people want to keep coming back to the stadium, and that's really critical. You know, the Orioles have 81 dates, which is a different animal. It's much more costly. You have 81 thing events you have to put on every year, and the Orioles, you know, pay a portion of that, and so it's not exactly the same thing. And while the Orioles want their fans to have a great experience, it's not the burden on 10 games. It's the burden spread over 81 games. You don't have a national TV contract that pays nearly as much in baseball as you have in football. And so the revenue models are different. And so, you know, the ability of a football team to make that type of investment and get a return on it, I can appreciate is there. The ability of a smaller market baseball team to make that same comparable investment in a stadium is probably not as justified, and for them to be able to get a return on it. And so, you know, I never thought when I was working with each of the teams, I never felt it was really fair to judge one versus the other, because they're both partners of the stadium authority, they're both partners of the state, both partners of the city, and we had to help each team figure out a way to maximize the return from their business. And that the businesses, while they're both professional sports, they're just different businesses, different business models. And it was incumbent upon the Stadium Authority to understand that and to work with both team owners in a way that made them want to be in Baltimore. All of the liquidated damages provisions in the world today are not going to keep a team in your city. What's going to keep a team in your city is that the team owners want to stay in your city. It's another reason why when we passed the stadium funding bill, we made it evergreen so that the team owners can come back to the Stadium Authority more than once every 30 years and get additional investment in the stadiums so that you are always near the cutting edge of what fans expect in the best stadiums across the country.
Good time to take a break, because I was about to jump into a whole other thing. Tom Kelso is here, former Maryland Stadium Authority chairman. Happy man today, right? Happy? You were saying
I am.
Happy?
I'm a happy man today.
You came here and said, man, I'm blowing up. It's crazy. But I'm happy. I'm happy, right?
I'm happy. I congratulate the governor and the team at the Stadium Authority. We've done a great job today.
You know, if you're happy, I feel like I should be happy, because I've learned to sort of trust your integrity and your honesty in all this. By the way, Wes Moore is going to be joining us, governor, here. We're going to find out his side of the story. We're going to hear Craig Thompson's side. Brooke Learman's always been a great champion of the show and coming on. Bill Ferguson's been busy, but they're all going to get invites. I'm going to be at Fadley's next Wednesday after Christmas on the 27th. I have lottery tickets to give away. As a matter of fact, I got to take a break and just go through Wise here and give away some of these. Makes me want gingerbread cookies. Oh, snaps. This is from the Maryland Lottery, friends at Window Nation. I'm trying to look serious here. I don't want to look foolish while I'm having serious conversations with serious people, but I do like my bucket hat. They'll be giving away the Oreo bucket hats on some night this summer as well. Window Nation, 866-90-NATION. You buy two, you get two free. It does say doors. I need some doors. Santa, please bring me doors. Window Nation, please bring me doors. Also, our friends at Jiffy Lube MultiCare. I really need an oil change. Usually my wife does this, and she's out of town. She's baking cookies for the holidays. I'm here at Wise Markets. I'm going to be doing all of our holiday shopping. So ham, kielbasa, and sauerkraut's coming at 2 o'clock. I hope you're hanging out for that. We're going to do green bean casserole, but we're going to talk crab cakes here. We're Wise Markets. I'm using my Wise Rewards to get a free ham for the holidays. You could do that as well. We call these Wise Conversations because guys like this guy here shows up. We're going to continue on with all things Stadium Authority for Dummies. I'm the dummy. He's Tom Kelso, former Maryland Stadium Authority chairman. Stay with us. We're Wise Markets. It's the Maryland Crab Cake Tour and Honey Go for the holidays. We're Baltimore Positive.